Hey everybody, Pastor Kevin here. Thanks for joining us online. Message today is entitled Stepping into the Unfamiliar. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 3. And I want to talk about this interesting journey from the familiar in our lives to the unfamiliar. And last week, Jackie talked to us about counting the cost of discipleship and counting the cost of following Jesus, rather. And that tension of allegiance and the tension of What are we loyal to? What are we not? Are we more loyal to Jesus? As a matter of fact, are we more loyal to our comfort than we are to King Jesus? And she just did a great job opening that up, examining that, and examining this allegiance and surrender and what that looks like to have Jesus fully the Lord of our lives in every area. And it's a high call. It's a high call. And so when following Jesus gets difficult, especially it really presses on this, when there's suffering, when there's hardship, when there's pain. And she really challenged us to pre-decide that when hardship comes, that we're going to trust God. We're going to trust Jesus. When the hardship comes, we're going to lean in, not back out. We're going to lean in. And this is just so important. And our commitment to Jesus, you know, it isn't only tested in pain and suffering and hardship and loss. Certainly those are huge ones, and certainly the scriptures talk a lot about that. But I think another area that we're tested in is when God leads us somewhere unfamiliar. When he leads us out of what's kind of our normal right now to something different. There's change. There's an unfamiliar place. From familiar to unfamiliar is an easy way for me to say it. And so I want to just explore this a little bit today and some things that might help us, I know will help us learn from the scriptures to help us move, because God is always transitioning us from familiar things to the unfamiliar, because he's challenging us, he's stretching us, he's moving us, he's leading us by his Spirit. And so I want to look at an Old Testament passage, Joshua 3, famous passage. And again, go back and read Joshua 1, Joshua 2. The children of Israel have been for 40 years wandering in the desert. Moses has been leading them, and Joshua has been right there with them. He was 40 years old when they got into the wilderness, and now he's about 80 years old in chapter 3. So 40 years, half of his life has been spent wandering in the wilderness, not yet able to go into the promised land, but this is the passage where they do it. They go for it. Then God says, it's time. And so 40 years of familiar, 40 years of familiar, and the promised land is right there. And God says, it's the time. I'm going to have you go in. And think about what was going through Joshua's heart. Think about what was going through the other leaders and the other people. There's million plus people there, the children of Israel. And they're going from 40 years of what they've known to now this promise that God has, but yet it's unknown. There's some known, but more unknown than known, familiar to unfamiliar. And so that obstacle, there's an obstacle, a really giant obstacle in front of them, a physical obstacle called the Jordan. And and so I've got 4 points for you. The Jordan River stands before them as an obstacle. And here's the first point, is that forward will have obstacles. When God calls you from the familiar to the unfamiliar, that journey will have obstacles. Let's look at Joshua 3, 1 to 2. It says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. So just pause on that. So overflowing, the Jordan is overflowing. It's springtime. The waters of the Jordan aren't low. They're high. The banks are overflowing. It's high water. So it's like the worst time in the natural to cross. It's not an easy cross. You're talking about a million people and a muddy flowing river springtime. And so the challenge is big. The physical obstacle is huge. And how's God going to do this? Well, Joshua, I'm sure, had that question, but he knew in his history, they'd crossed the Red Sea, 40 years ago, and they'd seen Moses bring the staff out. And as he placed the staff like that, the waters just parted, this amazing miracle. So Joshua knew it could happen. And I believe his faith was high, but they, But who knows? You know, who knows what the other people thought? We don't know for sure. But here's the thing about obstacles. Obstacles get our attention. And obstacles test our allegiance. Because it's a difficulty. It's a barrier. It's a blockage to where we thought God was calling us to go or where we're supposed to go. God says, go in. But yeah, you got to cross this river. This is a problem. This is not just any river. It's an overflowing river. And so the question is, do we trust the Lord or do I trust the Lord? Does Joshua trust the Lord? Do the people trust the Lord? Or do they trust the familiar? It's really easy to default to what's comfortable. It's really easy. Even when that comfortable is bondage, even when that comfortable is lack of freedom, even when that comfortable is addiction, even that it's because it's familiar, there's this sense of, well, at least I know. Remember the children of Israel early on, they were like, let's just go back to Egypt. At least we know what's going to happen. At least we know where our food's going to come from. At least we know. And so they grumbled and complained. And there's this human tendency in our brokenness to want to stay stuck, to want to stay on the wrong side of the obstacle. And so it's a fascinating thing, but I believe Joshua here, he's got faith lenses. He's got a surrendered heart. If you read chapters 1 and 2, God's working very diligently to encourage him, to put courage into him, to build him up, to get him in the scriptures, to meditate on him day and night. And he sent spies into the land to check it out. And the reports are, you know, there's cool things God does. And they get some reports of the people of Jericho and what they think. And Joshua's encouraged. That doesn't mean he wasn't, you know, didn't have some sense of, you know, it's still change for him. But he's ready and he believes God's saying to do it. So they're going to go for it and they will go for it. And it's incredible. And I just think God loves to bring us up against obstacles. You might go, really, Kevin? Why? Well, I think he does because it allows us to have to go to him, to seek him, to dig in and lean in and to build a trust in him. And you know, it's one of the best ways to build our perseverance, to build our faith muscles, to build our reliance and our trust and our allegiance and our surrender to him. Because it tests, where's our heart at? Do I have more faith in the lies I believe? Do I have more faith in the difficulties that I'm battling? Or do I trust God? Do I trust that he's taking care of me? Do I trust that he's leading me? Am I walking in obedience to those things? And I want to shift here to just this idea of the familiar to the unfamiliar in the area of discipleship. Because I think one of the obstacles in today's church, if we come to today, in today's church, one of the obstacles to fulfilling our purpose on the planet is this transition from going, I am a disciple or I am a follower of Jesus, to I now go to this, maybe for many, an unfamiliar place of discipling another person. I want to be a disciple. I am a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus, but we're not meant to just consume. We're not meant just to be the disciple and not give it away. It's not supposed to just come in and stay. It's supposed to come in and go out. And so in Matthew 28:19-20 says, therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So notice that the clear commission from Jesus, right before this in verse 18, it says, I have all authority and I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this, you're empowered. Go do this. Go and make disciples. It's so clear, but yet it's a part of the maturity process because it starts with first us being a follower of Jesus, first with us following him every day, and then eventually he makes us, he changes us and moves us from just being a disciple to then making disciples. And so, but this, I find many long-term Christians, they're believers, they're saved, but they don't invest in another person intentionally. Sometimes never. And I'm surprised by it, but I think it's this place of familiar versus unfamiliar, and this transition between the two. And so, what can we learn from this? I just want to weave this together, just kind of using this discipleship motif with the story here in Joshua 3, And I think the first thing is just to, when you're in a familiar place, and let's just say when it comes to discipleship, if you're like, well, I'm comfortable being a disciple, I like being a disciple, I like growing, I like learning. Well, let's talk about how do we go from there to making disciples as well. Not just being a disciple, but making disciples. And so here's my second thought. So forward will have obstacles. Secondly, that from this passage is that trust God's presence to lead. Look at verses 2 to 5 here in Joshua 3. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way. For you have not passed this way before. Notice that in verse 4. You have not passed this way before. He's saying, pay attention to the ark of the covenant, which was the visible, tangible, visible presence representing the presence of God. So basically saying, follow the presence of God. Keep your distance so you can see the ark. The priests are going to be carrying the ark. Keep your distance so you can notice it, see it, and that all the people can see it. And where it goes, that's where you'll go. Let it lead. Let the presence of God lead. And so God's sending the priests and the ark first. He's not sending the engineers. He's not sending the artists. He's sending the priests. And he's saying, follow, because they're carrying the presence of God, the ark, representing the presence of God. Follow the presence of God. Let the presence of God lead. Now, I believe Joshua knows that this obstacle called the Jordan River in the natural, he knows there's a natural obstacle there, but I believe he knows that this is a spiritual obstacle. And this is God can bend physical things. He's in charge of all of it, and he can take care of the obstacle, but they need to lean in, they need to pray, and they need to follow the presence of God. They need to trust God and trust his presence. Follow that, not just come up with a natural solution. They weren't going to call the engineers in and build a bridge over the Jordan. No, God said go. He says send the priests out with the ark, and that's who you follow. And so that's what they do, and it's a beautiful thing. Now, but I think God, he's challenging us here in this passage to pay attention to God's presence and to follow what God's doing. And so one of the reasons the last few messages that I've done is to talk to you about hearing the voice of God, hearing the voice of God in Scripture first and foremost, and then hearing the whisper of God. Because the more we dial in, the more we tune into his voice, the more clearly we can acknowledge, see, notice, pay attention to his presence. And as you and I pay attention to his presence, then we have the privilege of following him, because we're hearing his voice. We're hearing and reading the Logos and what God says in the Word. And then we're also hearing the Rhema. We're getting those Holy Spirit downloads for the day-to-day activities in our lives. This is so key. This is so vital. This is what's happening to Joshua. The Lord speaking to Joshua, saying, okay, it's time. Lead the people. Follow my presence, and you're going to get to go through. Now, he doesn't exactly know how it's all going to happen, but he's trusting God. He's got faith in God, and he's going to do what he says. But that's key. So know there's going to be obstacles. He doesn't promise a free and clear path that's super easy. He doesn't promise that. He says, trust my presence to lead. All right. So let's keep going. When I think about this leaving the familiar to get to the unfamiliar, I think it's relatable in so many areas of our life and so many seasons. You might go, Kevin, I am a disciple and I'm making disciples. Awesome. Fantastic. Like, I love that. That's fantastic. So the question for you might be at this moment, then what area of familiar in your life is God asking you? Is he challenging you to step into a place, a next season, a next spot, a next move where it's a stretch, where it's out of your comfort zone? You're like, I feels a little overwhelming. And what I find now at a ripe old age of 58 is that it doesn't end. Like, God's always challenging us to grow. If you are a healthy disciple of Jesus, he will challenge you in your faith. He will challenge and stretch you to grow into this next season. And that isn't a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That's a, you know, resistance builds our faith muscles, and it's enjoyable. It's an adventure. It's good. It's challenging sometimes. It's hard. Yes, there's pain, like Jackie talked, there's loss, there's difficulty. But even in those seasons, as hard as they are and as much as we don't ask for them or want them, God uses them. And so that's incredible. I mean, our fail-safe is Romans 8:28, that God can work out all things for good, the hard, the difficult, the good, you know, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so I'm like, God, there is no reason to not trust you. There is no reason to be stuck in the familiar. Now, back to discipleship, I often wonder if discipleship is one of those areas we get stuck in because it's just the lack of maybe understanding, the lack of information. I mean, maybe you've thought, I've never discipled anyone. I don't know enough of the Bible. I wouldn't know what to say. Kevin, I'm not a pastor like you. I'm not a teacher. I don't look at the Bible every day. I don't study the Bible all the time. I understand those thoughts, and those are valid thoughts. But maybe like the passage here we just read, it says, maybe you haven't gone this way before. And I just want to challenge you that clearly in Scripture, I just read to you from Matthew, that clearly in Scripture, God says, yes, be a disciple, but also go and make disciples. And on the screen, I just put this difference between the familiar, I believe, and the unfamiliar. Like, familiar is equal to I am comfortable being a disciple, and unfamiliar is I'm helping someone else grow as a disciple. And I just want to challenge you to pray about that. Like, God, help me to go from not just, if I'm just being a disciple, that's great. That's where you're starting. But the maturity process gets you to the place where you're going to invest in someone else as well. We're all called to do it. That is clear right here in Scripture. And so what is intentional discipleship? Well, it's just helping someone take a next step, take next steps on their journey of maturity as a follower of Jesus. And so it's so fun, you guys. It's so fun. I want to encourage you that it may feel a little intimidating to give away something because you don't feel totally prepared. But if I shrink discipleship down to simply this, helping another person take a step on their journey. You're just there to encourage them, help them take a next step. Take a next step. Take a next step. And just like you take a next step, you keep growing. And someone's most likely invested in you at some level, whether it was casual or intentional. And you and I get to do that same thing. And so I want to encourage you that should become a part of our lifestyle. No matter what your job is, no matter what you're retired, non-retired, student, no matter where you're at, one of the things you can do is start to have eyes and lenses to see that we're all called to invest in another person intentionally and help them grow in Jesus. So we see here again that God's presence leads his people into this new territory. And I just love this. And so, you know, one of the ways that I think helps me in the area of discipleship is just to think, okay, God, you know, because you might go, Kevin, how do I start? How do I engage in this, like, a take a next step thing? Well, just think about your world and think about where is God already working and who is God already placed in your world that maybe you could just prayerfully help take a next step. You pray about this, God will show you someone. I promise you, he will. And so, you know, who keeps coming across your path? Who's hurting in your life? Who's asking questions? Who seems to be spiritually open? Because maybe this person is not yet a follower of Jesus, but you can tell there's a curiosity. So that's a person that you can invest in. You can share your story with. You can share Jesus' story with. You can ask them where they're at on their journey. And you just, that loving curiosity builds connection and trust. So I want to encourage you with these things. So first of all, forward will have obstacles. It will. When we go from familiar to unfamiliar, it's going to have obstacles. Secondly, trust God's presence to lead. Thirdly, make yourself available. Let's look at verse 4 and 5 of Joshua 3. It says, for you have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. I read that to you. And it says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So Joshua is telling the people, sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I mean, he's casting some great vision here. He's like, guys, examine your heart. Get yourselves ready. Get yourselves right before the Lord. Check where you're at. Check your heart, because this is it. Like, it's go time. God is, after 40 years, God is sending us into the promised land. And they don't know fully what's before them. They know there's some stuff. They know that there's some people. There's some ites in there that God's going to have to help them deal with. But they're going to have to possess the land. It's not going to be a one-step thing like they just walk in and boom, it's all theirs. There's a process of them maturing and possessing what God has for them. And so he's saying, set yourselves apart, prepare your hearts for what God's about to do. Turn your attention toward God in every area of your life, any area where that you're struggling with surrender. Repent, confess it, repent, and get your heart right. And so ask God to show you. And so really, when I move this back to discipleship and thinking about getting our hearts right in the area of discipleship, I think I could simply say it this way. A prepared and right heart has this posture, has this attitude, has this mindset. It's this: Jesus, I'm available. Jesus, I'm available. I'm available to you. The answer is yes. Who do you want me to invest in? Who do you want me to encourage? Who do you want me to help take a next step? God, who do you want me to intentionally spend more time with and encourage them on their journey? I may only be one step ahead of them, but I can give away anything you have. I can encourage them. I can challenge them. I can rock. I can help them go forward and walk forward. I think this is just so important and so valuable. So that first step is really, Jesus, I'm available. Make yourself available. Let his presence lead. Make yourself available. Jesus, I'm available. It's so key. And those four, so the three points rather we have so far: forward will have obstacles, trust God's presence to lead, and make yourself available. Every day, if your availability is communicated in prayer, God, you spend a little time with the Lord, read some scripture, prayerfully pause, just reflect, God, and just say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. And Jesus, lead me to the people that you want me to encourage today. Who do you want me to pray for today? Who do you want me to connect with? Lord, I'm available and open for the Kairos moments as well as the intentionally already planned moments. God, I'm available. And that posture, that mindset, what it's going to do, that's a spirit-led, that's a mindset on the spirit, not on the flesh, because you're surrendering it to God. I promise you, if you have that going, what will happen is you will start to see, you will start to notice, you will start to see availability and opportunities before you all the time. And you guys, trust me, it gets so fun and exciting. And it's so great to see people that don't know Jesus come to Jesus, those who do know Jesus grow in their relationship with Jesus, and then as they're growing a relationship with Jesus, they start to catch this aha of, wait, I'm not just a disciple of Jesus, I'm called to make disciples, I'm called to intentionally invest. And that's a face stretch, because they're like, I don't know that much of the Bible. I don't know. That's okay. God says, get in the game, get in the process. Trust me in the process. You keep learning and you keep helping other people. It's amazing what God does. So the fourth point is this, is get your feet wet. Get your feet wet, right? And it's summer here, basically almost, well, summer's just about over. But it's still pretty warm, and getting your feet wet isn't a good thing in this community. It's a hot place here. It's nice today, but get your feet wet. Let's go back to the passage. Joshua 3:7-17, and I'm going to skip a few verses. You should go back and read the whole thing. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. So God, look what God's saying to him, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Verse 8, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. And it shall come to pass, skip down to verse 13, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap. Crazy. Verse 14, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the Lord, for the people rather, and as they who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water. So their feet just start touching the water, right? It says, for the Jordan overflows its banks during the whole time of harvest. 16, that the waters which come down from upstream stood still and rose up in a heap. Just imagine all these waters just standing up. as far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. And so the waters there went down into the Sea of Arabah. The salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. All right, so you get the picture? Like that, just the waters are just like, and the people, the priests went first. As soon as their feet got into the water, which was different than what happened before, right? At the Red Sea, it wasn't like that. The Red Sea, they didn't have to touch the water. But in this situation, they had to touch the water, get their feet wet, get in the water, take a step of obedience before they saw anything happen. I think it's important to note this, because that in new seasons, God doesn't always do the new thing the way he did the old thing. And I think sometimes we get caught up in, well, God did it this way before, so that's how he's going to do it again. Now, we can learn from the old season. We should pay attention to it. But don't try to put God in a box, all right? Ask him, what are you doing? And pay attention to what he's saying. And he clearly said to Joshua, have the priests step into the water, get their feet wet. And when they did, that's when the miracle happened. The problem, the obstacle was overcome. Boom. Because of their obedience, I believe, right? And their faith in what God was going to do. That moment of obedience was powerful. And so if we shift back to discipling others, I think sometimes we can spend our lives waiting until we feel completely ready. You know, I mean, Joshua and the team, the Israelites had 40 years of preparation in the wilderness, 40 years. And they probably thought, well, yeah, we're ready. We're definitely ready. But the challenge is ready can change, and what ready looks like can look different. And maybe, who knows, there might've been some people, I'm sure there were some people that were like, what? We're going in? What about our old life? What about how we do things? Is it going to change? You know, just imagine all that would have gone through people's minds and hearts, going from the familiar to the unfamiliar. And so when it comes to discipling others, I know that's the case. I know people have said to me many times, well, I'll disciple somebody when God gives me more confidence. I'll share my faith with someone. I'll share Jesus with someone when I have more confidence. And when God teaches me more about the Bible, then I'll disciple somebody. When it's maybe a little less awkward, then I'll talk about Jesus. I understand all those things. And all those things it's good to know more of the Bible. It's good to grow in confidence. And it's good to not have to feel awkward. But I promise you, the best way to grow in all those three things is to choose to get your feet wet, to choose to get in, even in a little way. And when you do that, you'll be amazed at what God does. And so what does getting your feet wet look like? You might go, all right, Kevin, I get it. What does getting your feet look like when it comes to discipling somebody else, when it comes to investing in someone else? And when it comes from going from what's familiar to the unfamiliar, what does it look like? Well, what have we learned so far? First of all, just clearly want to say, we've learned that when we go forward, when we move from familiar to unfamiliar, there's going to be some obstacles, right? Might be your mindset, might be the thoughts you have, might be some beliefs start to come up that are really lies. And so you're going to have to talk to God about those and identify which ones are lies and then replace them with truth. And so pay attention to the obstacles and then ask God, show me where that came from. Why am I believing that? Is that rooted in my story? Is that rooted in something that happened? What is it, God? What's going on there? And let him bring healing. Let him bring wholeness there, right? And then let God's presence lead. Trust that God's presence will lead you. And tune into his voice. Ask him. Ask for wise counsel. You know, there's things you can do in that. Read the scriptures and get clarity on his presence. And then choose to make yourself available. It's a faith choice. Jesus, I am available. I choose to make myself available from going from this familiar season to this unfamiliar next step that you've called me to. And even though I like it, maybe I'm scared. Admit it, own it, and ask God to help you. He can handle it, right? It's got big shoulders. And so let's get back here. What is getting your feet wet look like when it comes to discipleship? Well, you're really just saying, I'm not going to keep it for myself. I'm not going to keep the stuff that God's given me for myself. And so what have you been learning from the scriptures? What's one thing you've learned in the last 2 weeks? A scripture you read, what was one thing you got from it? How's God been stretching you in this season? What have you been chewing on lately? Is there anything that's been standing out in a message that you listened to recently? Maybe it was online, maybe it was at church, maybe it was today's message. You know, is there something that you're getting that is kind of resonating here? And what's that passage that you read? And maybe you read that passage and you're like, that was interesting. I want to go back and chew on that. That's something you can share. You can take it in for yourself, but you can also give it away. Intentionally give it away. Ask God, who should I share this with? Right? And so really, I'm not asking to preach a sermon. I'm not asking to lead a Bible study. You might get to do that at some point, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm just saying, who's one person that you could help take a next step? Who's one person that God would bring along that even comes to mind as I'm saying this, that you could help take a next step, right? And I wrote down some potential ways to take next steps here, like just really practical. It's on the screen. Take a picture of it or something. Pray and ask God to put someone on your heart and begin praying for them. That's one way you can be more intentional with your discipling. You can ask God, help me to notice and listen. Like, pay attention to the people around you. Listen to their story, right? Be curious. Love, care, serve, encourage. Look for genuine needs and meet them, right? Prayerfully. And share. Simply share what Jesus is doing. I just said that. What God's doing in your life. And share some of your story when the opportunity is right. I'd say try to find out their story first, but if sharing a little bit of your story helps, then do that. Invite someone, help them take a next step. Invite them to coffee, invite them to your small group or a life group or the youth group or women's ministry or men's, or, you know, whatever you're involved with, invite somebody to join you. Maybe it's invite them to attend a Sunday service with you at a church, a weekend service. It's amazing how that, you go, is that discipleship? Well, that's intentionality. And that begins a journey, that begins a relationship. And for me, I'm always, I mentioned these questions to you before, but I want to mention to you because they're just so good. Three questions that I'm always chewing on regularly when I'm investing in people, when I'm around people. I'm asking these three questions. Where's this person at on their journey? This is on the screen for you. And then what do they need? What do they need? And then where do they get it? Where are they at? What do they need? And where do they get it? Is it something that I can help them with on their discipleship journey? Do they need an expert in finances? Do they need somebody who's really good with budgets? Do they just need a book resource? But how can I help connect the dots for them in the area of growth and discipleship? And so this is key. These three questions are key. And I think that those are just kind of always running over here. I'm listening for clues to where they're at on their journey and what they might need as a next step. And that helps a lot because your mindset isn't just what do I need? It's, again, others' focus. You're looking to them and what's happening in them. And that's a big shift from maybe what is familiar to, for some, unfamiliar. And if that's familiar, then how do you keep growing in that? Growing personally, but also helping others grow, right? And then if you're helping other people grow, those you're investing in, how do you encourage them to invest in others? Help them go from familiar to unfamiliar, right? So this is cool journey. And so when the priests, back to the story, when the priests step into the Jordan, you know, God stops the river. I mean, it's incredible. And they walk across on dry land. It's amazing. And that step of faith, that incredible step of faith is something only God, they took the step of faith to get their feet wet, but God stopped the river. He did this incredible miracle and made a way where they couldn't make a way. And when you think about Jesus, that is exactly what Jesus did. He came, God sent his son, and Jesus came, and he did what you and I couldn't do. He made the way through Jesus, through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection. He made a way where you and I couldn't make the way. And that's the gospel, that our sin separated us from God. And when Jesus took our sin upon himself, became sin for us, died, was buried, and rose again, he made a way of salvation, of forgiveness. He took care of the penalty of sin on our behalf so we could walk free, and we could walk on this journey from familiar to unfamiliar over and over and over again. When we come up against obstacles, there's no way we could get through that. God makes the way. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And so, as a matter of fact, in John 20, 21, he says again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And so, church family, imagine what would happen if this fall we all pre-decided. What if we all pre-decided to go from "I'm following Jesus" to, this is on the screen, "I'm following Jesus and I'm helping others follow him too"? That shift is massive, is massive. Not just us following Jesus, but we're helping others follow Jesus too, from familiar to unfamiliar. And so let's take a minute and let's wrap this up. And I just want you to listen. Say, "God, what are you speaking to me? What's God speaking to you today? Dear Jesus, would you speak to each person tuning in? Holy Spirit, would you come and would you open their heart and minds? And would you put exactly what the words and the thoughts that need to go there where they're out on their journey?" Yeah, thank you for that, Lord. And so as you get off this call, just off this video rather, would you listen? Would you tune in? Would you write down even what the step is for you, the next step for you on this journey from the familiar to areas that are unfamiliar that you believe God is leading you into by his presence? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you. Have a great week. See you next time.